You're listening to the IFL TV podcast in association with Lonsdale MTK Global, sponsored by William Hill. This is Coogan Cassis for IFL TV in association with MTK Global. Delighted to be joined by Mr. Carl Frampton, who just gave me a dig that I don't interview him anymore, which isn't true, but anyway.
Until when I was a world champion, you used to interview me.
No.
Now I'm fighting for a world title. Come calling.
While you was climbing through the ranks, making your name in world boxing,
I was. So you did.
How are you, mate?
I'm all right. I'm good. I'm doing good, yeah. Back in Manchester here at the minute. So, yeah, good to get the fight announced, finally.
Yes, absolutely. BT Sport back with a bang for 2021 as they announced their first fight, which is your fight, finally, with Herring. So, yeah, it must be a relief to kind of get a date in. It's not too long away. What's it, about six weeks away?
I think about seven, is it? Maybe not, maybe less. We're about six and a half, something like that. Yeah, it'll be fast approaching. I've already got, I'm in the week eight now of training, so I'll have plenty of, it's not as if I'm just getting announced. This is just an announcement to me and I've just started training, so I'm fit, I'm in good shape already, probably ahead of where I need to be at this stage. I'll just start to increase the intensity of the sparring now, but I'm where I need to be. Can I just say a credit to everybody who got this fight done, by the way, because I understand it's been difficult behind the scenes to make, and with COVID, MTK, Frank, Bob Arum, Jamel, the WBO as well, everybody involved in making this fight. And I suppose Shakur Stevens as well, because he's a mandatory and he realises now that this fight's going to take place and he fights the winner. So.
Okay. When I spoke to you last year, it was only like eight, nine days ago last year, but when we spoke a few months ago, you said to me that it was important for you to kind of get this fight sooner rather than later, because you're at the latter stage of your career and you don't want to be wasting months and months and months,
yeah.
Which COVID situation has kind of prevented this fight from happening at least 6 months, isn't it?
Yep. No, yeah. And look, the fight, yeah, at least 6 months. I think they initially talked about the fight when I was fighting Taylor McCreary in November 19 was when the fight was started to be talked about. They talked about maybe like a May date in Belfast, that was kind of floated about May 2020. That wasn't to be. And then towards the end of the year and towards the end of January this year and stuff. And it's just been put back. But finally, we've got it nailed down, the 27th. And I don't think it really suits me or Jamel, if I'm being honest. We're not, we're no spring chickens. But I think it probably suits me more than him a wee bit. The long layoff and... I have been training. I'm sure he has too. But I feel like out of the two of us, I'm probably the fresher. So,
I saw some comments that you made on Frank Warren's YouTube channel with Dev about him sparring Terence Crawford. I saw he bit on that in a tweet. But you were kind of a little bit baffled by why he's sparring Terence Crawford. Apart from him being Terence Crawford, how does that suit?
It doesn't suit me. And obviously, Terence Crawford is pound for pound, arguably the best on the planet right now. Some people will have him as number one. He's certainly in the top five anyway, and he's one of my favorite fighters. But it's just I don't know if it's good preparation and getting ready for me and. He harps on about I'm talking about his sparring partners. You asked me a question, as did Dev ask me the question, so I'm just giving my answer. And I don't think Terence Crawford is an unbelievable fighter. I don't imagine Jamel is having his confidence boosted in that spar. And he's about a foot taller than me, just not the same.
So what would you outline as the reasons why, like I said, apart from it being Terence Crawford, like I said, power in some people's eyes, number one or number two, number three, even however you want to look at it, but reasons why he would specifically
I think it was just a photo opportunity. I don't think he's really sparring him all the time. Honestly, I think it was probably, they've probably done four rounds with each other, and that's it. That's it, pretty much.
Okay. How do you rate Herring as a fighter?
I do rate him. He's a good fighter. He's obviously massive for the weight. Biggest specimen I've ever fought. But I do rate him. He punches well to the body for a big guy. He's an extremely, like, he throws his left hand straight from distance as well. Tries to stop people coming forward. It's a good shot, and it works a lot for him. He's better up close than people you may imagine when you just look at someone with his dimensions. He's a good fighter, you know, well-rounded fighter.
So you're bidding to become Ireland's first ever three-weight world champion.
Yeah, that's correct.
What a feat that would be.
It would be amazing. One of the only Brits. There's three in front of me, and I would join an elite club of only four in Britain to do it as well.
Can you name the three?
Duke McKenzie. Mm-hmm. Ricky Burns.
Yeah.
And one of the I should be a boxing historian. I normally am. I normally get this. I've forgotten his name. One of the old boys in the, like, 30s or something, it was. Can't remember his name. I'm disappointed. One of the recognisable old boys.
Okay, one of the old boys.
One of the famous. I can't remember his name.
I don't know who it is, otherwise I would have said. But I knew the Ricky Burns and McKenzie. But
it's them three anyway. And I think... obviously when he was doing it, when the old boy back in the day was doing it, there was only eight divisions, so to become a three-weight world champion when there's only eight divisions, that is insane. Like, that's amazing. I think my three-weight world championship route, you look at Ricky's and Duke McKenzie's, no disrespect to the Emmons, but Mang's tops theirs. And obviously, three-weight world champions, the incredible achievement by anyone. But I think the level of fighters that I fought to become a three-weight world champion is a bit better than Duke's or Ricky's.
So, February 27th. I'm assuming you're not looking a day past this, are you? You don't know what's after this, do you? This is your focus on this date, and then what happens after then is...
What will be will be, and again, like I've always said, one fight at a time, especially at this stage of my career. I'm not looking ahead. I'm fully focused on Jamel Herring, and we'll see what happens after that. That's it, really. I'm focused on one man at the minute.
What changes do you think that kind of have been implemented in you over the last couple of years, especially after the Warrington fight? What kind of improvements do you believe you've made in that time?
Well, even since I teamed up with Jamie and stuff, I think in terms of my training, I'm not being run underground. I feel like I was being run underground. I was training extremely hard. You know, there was times where I've spoke about this loads of times, like Quig fight and stuff, 220 rounds of sparring, insane amount of rounds, and against big guys. Like Gary Corcoran used to be was a chief sparring partner for me, who I think he fought as high as light middleweight. And he fought for a world title. He fought Jeff Horn as a welterweight, like, for a world title. So this is the type of people I was sparring. So I've reduced that massively since I've teamed up with Jamie, and I feel like it's to my benefit. But specifically after the Warrington fight, one thing I will have learned, I suppose, is never to take anybody for granted. And I did that in the Warrington fight. I knew that I was going into that fight thinking it was going to be a long fight. I knew that he's extremely tough and extremely fit, and I thought it was going to be a long fight. It was going to go the distance, but I didn't think he could hurt me, and he fucking hurt me more than once. So I've learned not to go in too relaxed every day I fight again.
Okay. I do want to ask you about the weight above you, because that at the minute is...
Oh, amazing. Unreal.
on fire. You don't fancy beating Herring and then seeing how far you can go at 135?
Not a fucking chance. They're too big for me. Listen, I'm a realist, Coogan. And Herring's big enough, but these boys, they're too big and they're too good, if I'm being honest. That's a stretch too far for me.
Yeah.
But it's what a division. An amazing division. You know, people are talking, comparing it to the Four Kings, aren't they now? And Hagler, Duran, Ali, not Ali, Hagler, Duran, Hearns, and Hagler, Duran, Hearns, and Ray Leonard. That's the comparison we have in this day and age in the lightweights. But I hadn't put Ryan Garcia in the mix until he beat Luke Campbell last week, but that was an amazing performance by him, and he's a quality fighter.
I just want to let everyone know that there was a lot of tongue-in-cheek into my remark, because people start going to me, why would you ask him about that? But that division is frightening, and we saw what Gervonta Davis done to Santa Cruz a few months ago, which was very impressive.
Yeah, it was as good a shot as you'll see. One of the best knockouts that I've ever seen. An absolutely perfect punch, and you could see that he was looking for it. You could see that he didn't respect Santa Cruz's power. You could see that he was just walking forward, and he tried that shot a few times before, but when he landed it, Santa Cruz was doing okay in the fight. You know, I think if the round had finished without Leo getting, you know, stretched out, I think I would have had the fight 4-2 in Davis's favour. And then you're looking in the second half going, well, Leo, this is his half of the fight, really. But he smoked his boots, really, didn't he?
Who'd you kind of band as the number one there? I mean, Teofimo Lopez has got the majority of the belts in that weight, and he's obviously got the Lomachenko win on his resume. But who'd you put as number one there?
Oh, is the lightweight number one?
Yeah.
Oh, Teofimo. Yeah, no doubt about it in my mind. He's got the Loma win. I think he beats them all, if I'm being honest. I think he is number one. He beats them all, and the rest would all beat each other on any given day.
It's definitely an interesting mix. Frightening talent in that mix.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. But everything going well ahead of the 27th now for you? You're fully into camp now.
Yeah, I was sparring before Christmas, thinking that there was chance a fight may have been taking place end of January. And then when I found out it was most likely going to be pushed back to the end of February, I took my foot off the pedal a wee bit over Christmas. In terms of sparring, I continued to train, didn't go mad with the food. And I had my first spar back today since I've been in camp now again since after Christmas. So I'm really where I need to be. My lungs are good. Fitness is good. Just need to get a bit sharper, and that will come with rounds, I suppose. But, yep, I'm happy enough.
Well, like you said, 6-7 weeks away. We look forward to it live on BT Sport. We're not going to have a crowd there, but I think we're fortunate enough to be having boxing considering the current situation in the world.
Yeah. I agree. I completely agree with that, yeah. And I'm one of the lucky ones. I got the fight last year and got a payday. And I'm getting the fight early in the new year. So, yeah, I'm one of the lucky ones, and I understand that completely.
Okay. Carl Frampton, have you got anything else you'd like to add before we finish?
Yeah, I do. Will you all follow me on YouTube and subscribe to my channel?
No, you can't do this.
I'm joking. Some amazing content. No, just subscribe to my channel. That's all I'm asking. Subscribe to my channel. I'll be putting good stuff out. I feel like I'm getting a wee bit of clout as a pundit. I'm giving my pre-fight predictions, post-fight reactions, some training camp footage. Give it a subscription. Or subscribe.
Yeah. All right. See, it's me being all nice here, but we could be like competitors in years to come.
Doubt it, Coogan. You're too far gone. Your numbers. What are you? Have you had a million subscribers?
No, we're not. We're not. We're on about 650,000.
Is that all?
Yeah, mate.
I thought these were a lot closer, but you must do like millions on your views, like
yeah, times. 815 million channel views.
Whoa!
So we're trying to close in on the billion at some point.
Unreal. I got my Luke Campbell Garcia post fight reaction. I think is about 7,000 views at the minute.
I'm going to put the link to your YouTube channel in the description for this video. Like,
please do.
I'm going to do that.
Thank you very much.
Because I know you really take your YouTube channel seriously. And
I do.
You plug it at any given point. So, of course. Carl, thank you very much for your time as always. And we'll look forward to your clash with Herring, where you bid to become a three-weight world champion. And we genuinely hope you can pull it off, mate.
Good man. I appreciate it, Coogan.
No worries. Coogan Cass is here with Carl Frampton for IFL TV. Thank you very much. Thanks for listening to the IFL TV podcast, sponsored by William Hill, in association with Lonsdale MTK Global.